Hello, magic seekers, and welcome to It Turns Out She's a Witch.
We're your hosts, Laura and Shannon,
and welcome to our podcast coven.
She's a Witch podcast would like to begin today by acknowledging the Duck and Young people, traditional custodians of the land on which we live and record the podcast. We pay our respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging. We extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people.
Welcome back to our fantabulous podcast coven for episode number 8, season 6 of Turns Out She's a Witch podcast.
Fantabulous. I love it.
Got to keep changing things up a little bit.
Okay.
So we have a very enchanting episode coming up for your ear holes today.
We do.
So hello, dear Laura. Are you scared?
Hi.
Are you scared about this episode?
I wasn't until you told me that you'd found a scary story to share.
So we will get into that, but first up, just wanted to do a lovely shout out to the special guests and small witchy businesses that are offering special bonuses and discounts for our Patreon coven.
Oh, yes. There's so many. Thank you.
Oh, yes. Thank you to everybody. So we've got Barbara With, who joined us for a fascinating conversation on episode number 6. Is offering a very generous 20% off a one-hour psychic reading with her and Einstein.
Wow.
That's a huge saving.
And that episode was incredible.
It really was. It really was. So if you haven't listened to it yet, go back to episode 6 and get on it. And, booking with Barbara would be amazing.
Yeah.
And then also Narelle Clyde, the light language queen, who we had on the podcast last week for episode 7, is offering 10% off everything, so including her upcoming Bali retreat in May, which is a massive saving.
Retreat.
So be sure another amazing app and
that's what I was going to say. she was so well-spoken, so articulate, and love her, big fan.
Oh, we'll definitely get Narelle back on too, I think. There were so many questions. We just tip of the iceberg.
We could have gone down so many different rabbit holes and there were so many tangents that we could have really explored. But, so I think we have to do some more exploring.
For sure. And then a special shout out to Kiss the Sky Candles and also the Aligned Gemini Co. Both of these beautiful products are handmade, bespoke, and just absolutely magical. And they are part of our March Patreon coven giveaway, which will be drawn on Tuesday the 26th. So good luck to all of our Patreon coven members for that draw. That's a really good prize.
I want to win that.
I do too.
Can we go in the draw? Is that fair? It's probably not fair.
And also both of those businesses have generously given our coven members exclusive discount codes. So a big thank you to Lisa from Kiss the Sky and Catherine from Aligned Gemini Co. So be sure to jump on their socials and support them. They're both small businesses and working mums and witches, and it's just we love to support others in our community.
Absolutely. We build each other up and support one another. That's what we're all about.
Sure are. Now today our topic is the magic and myth of mirrors.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Both the enchanted and the haunted.
Righto. Okay. I can sense what's coming here. I know what you're doing to me.
Now, I have no idea why this idea came to me to talk about mirrors, but it did, so I'm going with it.
It's exciting.
It is. Now, first up, we all know what a mirror is. I hope.
Yes, sure we do.
But a little science for your witchy brains.
Oh, cool.
A mirror is a reflective surface that light does not pass through but bounces off, and this produces an image. So mirrors are made by putting a thin layer of silver nitrate or aluminium behind a flat piece of glass. So when you stand in front of a mirror, your body reflects patterns of light into the mirror, which is pretty fucking cool.
I've never thought of it that way.
Yeah,
Wow.
So I thought I would dip a little into the superstitions of things.
Oh, I'm so glad.
And then you can lighten it up a bit with your your fairy tale side of things, and then we'll get dark again with a bit of haunting.
Well, okay. Yeah, that comes with the caveat that we know, because I said I'll do the fairy tale side of things, but as we know, fairy tales aren't what they're cracked up to be, are they? So it might lighten it up a little. But
maybe. Anyway, just a bit.
It won't be as dark as your story, no doubt.
Now, throughout the existence of the mirror, there have been many superstitions. So the Romans believed that mirrors could trap souls and cause bad luck to those who own it. Mm. If the mirror wasn't cared for properly, then it could allow bad things to happen. So let's talk about some of the creepiest mirror superstitions. So first up, we've got the covered mirrors. So spirits are often associated with mirrors, mirrors that are covered out of respect for the dead during the Jewish mourning ritual of sitting Shiva. But many people within the US also cover their mirrors when someone dies. So according to superstition, a mirror can trap a dying soul. They believe that when the soul leaves this world, it leaves a void. This void allows spirits to come into the world of the living, and that includes bad spirits. So wherever there is an energy vacuum, there is a potential for negative energy to creep in. So there are multiple variations on this superstition from all around the world. They even covered mirrors in the White House when Abraham Lincoln died.
Really?
Yeah, just so you know.
Hmm.
A belief in Chinese culture is that if you carry a corpse past a mirror, they would become a ghost. So this doesn't sound too bad until you think about the fact that they'd never be at peace and probably haunt you forever.
Awesome.
Also, another creepy Chinese superstition that images in the mirror were actually demonic beings who were pretending to be our reflections while silently plotting your death.
Quirky. Dark.
And I don't know where this superstition originated, but I remember being really freaked out as a kid by it. If you sleep with a mirror facing your bed, you may want to reconsider. Legend has it that spirits from the other side will suck your soul out through the mirror. There's no better time to suck someone's soul out than when they're laying unprotected and unaware in bed.
Wonderful. That's cheery.
That's a nice, nice cheery one, especially for those of you that have mirrored wardrobe doors.
That's me. That's my bedroom.
That was my last bedroom. Now, perhaps the most well-known mirror myth, the belief that breaking a mirror would bring you 7 years bad luck, dates back to the ancient Romans. They believed life was renewed every 7 years, which explains the length of the curse. I know my Scottish nana definitely believed in this one. It's a very common one. Now we're on to Bloody Mary, a dangerous game of truth or dare. Did you ever do that?
I don't know that I actually did, but I certainly remember hearing about it. But me knowing me, I probably did not.
I'm the same as you. I'm such a big pussy with stuff like that. I remember being at like birthday parties when I was about like 11, 12 and girls doing that in the bathroom in the dark. And I was like, no way am I going in there. I'm not. No.
No. I did the light as a feather, stiff as a board. That's as, yeah. Yes.
Same.
Try that. Not sitting in the dark with mirrors. No way.
Well, if you want to do it.
Or not.
This folklore ritual claims that if you light a candle in a dimly lit room and chant Bloody Mary three times into the mirror, you will see a woman dripping with blood in the reflection. Legend says that she may scream at you or even reach through the mirror and wrap her cold hands around your throat.
Nice, that's cheery.
Some say she even escapes the mirror and comes after you. So the original Mary in this myth is Mary Tudor, the first Queen of England. She earned this title after burning 280 people alive for being Protestant.
Oh, wow.
I never knew that. So there you go. Little history lesson for you there.
Yikes.
Now I'll round out this little superstition segment with something lovely to lead into your segment. Lara?
Do go on.
If you or someone you know is getting married, then this is for you. The happy couple should stand in front of a mirror together. Not only do they get to check out how gorgeous they look on their special day, but they're also participating in a wedding tradition. It is said that if a married couple looks into a mirror shortly after they say, "I do," they are uniting their souls. When you look into a mirror with someone, it is said to create an alternate universe where the two souls can live on together forever.
That's cute.
That's a nice one.
Yeah.
That's a nice one.
I love that. That is a nice one to end on.
It is. It is.
Okay. So mirrors in fairy tales. I am going to start from a apparently famous quote from a Scottish author called George MacDonald, because I knew you like all things Scottish.
Oh, yes.
It simply says, "All mirrors are magic mirrors." And the information that I'm using for my part of this episode comes from a super awesome blog website called snowwhiterights.com.
Oh, that sounds very cool.
So beautifully written, very engaging, and a little bit on the about me information to the website says, "I'm a writer, daydreamer, conversationalist, insomniac, and habitual movie quota."
Sounds so, like that kind of girl.
Yes. And she's written a whole piece titled "Magic Mirrors in Fairy Tales, a Reflection on a Timeless Symbol." How cool is even that title?
Yeah, amazing.
So good with words. So that's how this person started her piece on it. And she goes through, I'm going to say she, but in actual fact, I'm not sure. So apologies. This person talks a little bit about magic mirrors being everywhere and uses Lewis Carroll's Through the Looking Glass as an example, where Alice steps through her mirror into a bizarre alternate world. The Scottish writer that I just mentioned before, George MacDonald, wrote a story within a story about a man who frees the soul of his lover who was trapped in a magic mirror. Not so much fairy tales, but there's the Greek mythology of Perseus, who defeats Medusa with a mirror-like shield, and Narcissus, who falls in love with his own reflection.
Oh, yes, I know that story.
There's also Tennyson's poem, The Lady of Shalott, which is, it's a very long poem. I remember reading it in English in high school. But the main heroine is like a modern-day Rapunzel. It's a similar sort of story. She's trapped in a tower, cursed to be isolated from the outside world. She weaves a tapestry day in and day out, but can only look at the images that are reflected in her magic mirror. One day she chooses to look directly through her window at the dashing Sir Lancelot, and her magic mirror promptly announces her doom. Out flew the web and floated wide. The mirror cracked from side to side. "The curse has come upon me," cried the Lady of Shalott. So that was her magic mirror. There's another magic mirror in Beauty and the Beast.
That
Belle uses to be able to see what's going on in the outside world with her beloved family members. What else have we got here? Of course, the Snow White mirror on the wall that the evil queen, the stepmother, uses.
That's probably like the most famous one, isn't it?
Yes. And there is a real common thread here, and it's like, pretty obvious that the mirror is simply reflecting back the truth of the situation, regardless of what the person is choosing to believe or not. It's simply just a reflection of the truth. So obviously that's why that mirror was reflecting who is the fairest of them all. And I love how it's written here. So it says the magic mirror in Little Snow White is probably the first example that comes to mind because it's so well known. So where exactly did she get this mirror? Did she enchant it herself or buy it from a sketchy estate sale, inherit it from her vain ancestors that came before her? There are no clues where the mirror came from, but we know the mirror answers questions and that this mirror always speaks the truth. And it's so funny. She, where is it? I'll admit that I'm a little nonplussed that the only thing the evil queen asks this mirror is whether someone out there is more beautiful than her. Like, really? You have an all-knowing, all-seeing mirror that could offer you limitless power over any leader on earth, and all you want to know is your number in the hotness lineup. Okay, then.
So true. When you think about it, it's like you could know anything and all you want to know is how hot you are.
So funny. It's so funny. And there is another one. I really, really liked it. And the writer talks about the magic mirror archetype. So when you're looking at different mirror qualities and different stories and the archetype of the magic mirror, I loved how it was been described as that, the realism of the magic mirrors. So there's also a collection of stories from Spain and Portugal. And in this common tale, a handsome king is looking for a bride. His wise court barber demands that any eligible maiden must first look in his magic mirror. If the lady does not have a pure heart, the blemishes of her character will appear as spots on the mirror. So this warning scares off all the proud women of the kingdom from even attempting to look in the mirror. Mm. When only a beautiful and innocent shepherdess is brave enough to look, the barber admits that the only magic about my mirror is that which the evil consciousness or consciences of the ladies of Granada conjure up. So the other women were immediately angry that they were tricked, but the self-selection of the gold diggers that had already happened. So the pure-hearted shepherdess, you know, pulls a Cinderella, as is written, and marries the king. So just by saying this mirror will sort of expose the true heart, the people self, you know, their guilty conscience or whatever it is, they self-selected themselves away from there because they didn't want anybody else to find out. So they all withdrew and there was only one person who had nothing to worry about, so to speak, that was brave enough to look into the mirror.
That is so cool. And you know what it reminded me of, weirdly? Yeah. You know when you're a kid and you go swimming in the pool and your parents would go, don't pee in the water, we've got special stuff in there, it'll make it turn like bright pink or whatever. Yeah. And you'd be like, oh, better not pee in the pool because it'll turn a funny colour.
You believe it.
You believe it, you do.
It's so funny.
You don't piss in the pool.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Sorry, totally unrelated, I know.
Oh, but so cool and funny. There was a scary one that I wanted to end on. Bear with me. Mirror that bends reality, malevolent by nature. The Snow Queen is an example of that, where in that story the mirror has an evil owner, a demon, hobgoblin or troll, depending on the translation that you're reading. And it's designed to do the opposite of most mirrors. Rather than showing the truth, it distorts reality and shows that bad things are good and good things are bad.
Oh.
And then this evil mirror shatters and tiny fragments no bigger than grains of sand blow across the earth and into the eyes and hearts of mankind, and the results are disastrous.
Wow.
How horrible is that?
Goodness.
Yeah.
Goodness.
So sorry to leave it on a downer, but
I'm going to turn it real dark in a sec, so that's okay.
Yeah, wonderful.
Excellent. And I loved that. Thank you. Because a few of those, I'd never heard the one about the king and the mirror. That was, beautiful and powerful.
I kept scrolling and there is a really cool one
again. Mm-hmm. So bear with me. All right. So, and this was a surprise for the writer as well. She ended up finding out that the magic mirror that Snow White is based on was actually based on a real mirror.
Whoa.
Yes. So there are several historical German figures who inspired the Snow White fairy tale, one of which was the young Maria Sophia Margareta Katharina von Erthel. Maria was the daughter of a wealthy ambassador in 18th century Germany. She matched Snow White's appearance perfectly and had a jealous stepmother, a stepmother who owned a famous mirror known as the Talking Mirror. So apparently this mirror had an echo effect to reverberate one's voice back to themselves when they spoke toward the glass. It was pretty mind-blowing technology back in the day when people didn't know how it worked. This actual mirror still exists today in a museum in Lohr Castle, Germany, where you can try out the voice trick yourself. So be sure to visit if you're ever in the neighborhood.
Oh my gosh. That's another place we need to pin on our world tour that's going to happen one day. One day.
It's on our vision board.
It is. That is crazy. I never knew that that was based on a true story.
Either. No. Wow. You can try it out. I don't even know how they would have made that. But anyhow, apparently it's there and it's in a museum. And
cool. Love it. Learn something new every day.
Sure do.
Now I'm going to finish off with a wee haunted tale. So this comes from the www.dailystar.co.uk and it is the chilling story of Hollywood icon's haunted mirror, murder to gruesome bites on neck.
Yikes.
So Hollywood star and Dracula actor Bela Lugosi is one of the world's most famous horror actors. But did you know that he once owned a mirror believed to be haunted? So Bela played Dracula in the iconic 1931 Universal film. But in real life, it is reported that the actor also had a keen interest in the supernatural. It is reported that he was obsessed with practicing a form of clairvoyance, which would involve him staring into inanimate objects to try and conjure messages from spirits. So to me, that sounds like scrying, really. One such object reportedly used by the actor for such a practice was a mirror, which hung in Bela's Hollywood Hills home and is now part of the collection at Zach Bagans Haunted Museum in Las Vegas, which we are adding to the world tour when we do that.
Oh,
it looks
wow.
So cool. It looks so cool.
Gosh.
So Ghost Adventures star and paranormal investigator Zach was given the mirror by the niece of lawyer and B-movie producer Frank Saletri, who formerly lived in the home once owned by Bela Lugosi. However, Frank was tragically killed at the home in 1982, and following his murder, the producer's family inherited the mirror.
Mm.
Soon after bringing the mirror home, though, the family began to notice that paranormal activity began to occur within their own home. Believing Bela's own practices and her uncle's murder have affected the mirror, she later took the object to paranormal investigator Zach, who owns a number of haunted objects at his museum, including the famous Peggy doll and objects belonging to several killers, including Charles Manson.
Yikes.
So speaking about the supposedly haunted object, Zach told website Mental Floss, Cindy believed that the mirror absorbed part of the bad energy from witnessing that murder. He added, when it went into her house, her daughter immediately began feeling severely affected. She says that she began feeling bites on her neck when she would look into it and would see a dark entity inside the mirror. Zach continued, she brought it to my museum as she was so desperate to get rid of it. Speaking about Bela's reported supernatural practices, he also added, a lot of people talk about how he may have been involved in the occult. After taking the mirror from Frank's niece, the star also encountered his own paranormal experiences around the mirror when he investigated his own museum for a 2017 episode of Ghost Adventures. This included seeing a ball of light that appeared on the opposite wall of the mirror, which Zach said traveled across the room and then went inside the mirror. So an orb. The story of Bela's mirror was later recounted in Zach and Eli Roth's series, The Haunted Museum, which tells the stories behind some of the objects at the venue. Other items to be housed at the museum include parts of the boat that Hollywood star Natalie Wood was travelling on when she died, to the Devil's Rocking Chair, a carved wooden statue owned by actor Steve McQueen, and the famous haunted Westerfield dollhouse. So perhaps in future we might need to do a wee episode on these things.
Yes, and clearing mirrors. And that's a good point, is making sure you have a nice clean mirror.
Yes, or if you buy something, anything really, like from a vintage store, secondhand, if you're gifted, like cleanse, because you just don't know. You don't know who's had it before you or what's happened. Yeah. I get what he was saying about the niece saying how, like, that mirror witnessed a murder. Yeah. And, like, it's energy. It's anyway, interesting.
I think any object in that area would have absorbed that energetic exchange, but when it's a mirror, it could be potentially intensified because it's reflecting it, you know.
Very much
interesting. Very creepy. Thanks for sharing.
My pleasure. And do you have a divine tool of the week?
Yes. It is engaging in using a mirror as a divine tool of protection.
Oh,
so how much sense does that make? And it comes off the back of having done some protection magic education with our wonderful friend Stacey DeMarco, and simply using a mirror and engaging with the mirror to use it to reflect back anything that may be thrown your way. Or just a protective measure that will act as a boundary as well. Mm. So you can often see them in keychains, you know, little mirrored objects, either on little animals or just on beads or anything like that. In our course, Stacey sent us a mirror ball, so you can make it fun as well to hang in your home. But essentially you want it to face out and reflect back whatever might be approaching it. So front doors and back doors, or on a bag, a keychain on a bag, or that type of thing. So using a mirror as a divine tool of protection.
Mm. Well, I know they use them a lot. Well, in feng shui, they use mirrors in that in that way.
Yeah.
It's powerful. And I know with our little disco balls we got off Stacey, because they're like essentially a Christmas decoration, aren't they? Like they're that kind
That's what they look like.
It's like a little mirrored bauble, and we were taught how to go through the process of enlivening it and giving it the purpose of protection. But I've got mine on my letterbox, so it's literally right at that front boundary of our property to just reflect away anything that isn't meant to
it's coming at you. It's that protection. So they're very powerful objects through the nature of what they do, through their actions. So using that for you rather than against you is perfect for a divine tool in this episode, I thought.
I love it. Thank you. Thank you so much. And I hope that our podcast coven, has learned a little bit more about mirrors, maybe think about them a little bit differently. I know I will be.
And even if you take it as a good note to go around and give them a nice clean, so making sure that your reflections aren't impaired by anything, so you've got clear sight.
Oh, I like that.
Metaphorically and actually, you know, and physically.
Get your Windex out too.
Totally. Smells great. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you so much for joining us again, and we will be back with you next week with another special guest.